Okay, welcome back. So, this is Immunize Wisely on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is October 21st, 2023. I'm your host, Ingrid Castle. I am the Director of Vaccination Liberation, a national grassroots association dedicated to providing information on vaccinations and injections of all kinds, and actually drugs of all kinds, not often made available to the public, so one can make what we consider the only informed choice or decision, which is complete avoidance and refusal. So I want to just make sure that, do I have my headset on? I'm wondering, can you hear me? Can you guys hear me better? Okay, well, I switched to my headset. Somehow it wasn't done right. But anyway, so our websites are vaccinetruth.com, vaccinetruth.net. You know, that mirrors our exemption pages. And our main website is vaclib.org. That's vaclib, V-A-C, and then L-I-B for liberation, .org. We also got .com as a redirect. You know, I get compliments all the time that people are searching for information and they always end up finding it on our website. So it's a really good thing that people have this as a resource, because if you're looking for something, whether it's exemptions or, you know, like, oh my gosh, they're requiring that I become a religious member of some church in order to get an exemption, we have a slew of churches. Many of them don't cost a thing to join, and they all have that as one of their tenets, that they do not believe in any injections of a material that would alter your genetic, all vaccines actually alter your DNA, RNA, and it's not just the COVID shot. So just so you know, they're all designed to alter our genetics. It started with breeding the stuff in, or breeding it, I'm sorry, using these continuous cell lines from animals and then morphing that into continuous cell lines from aborted fetal tissue. So anyway, this is part of what they've done, is try to take down humanity and our connection to God. That is huge. It crosses the blood-brain barrier. So we're actually going to be talking about this a lot today because of my guest. So I wanted to, you know, get really clear that especially people that have been personally affected, once they realize it, a lot of them go out and either write a book or they start a blog, or they're very outspoken, or they file with the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which is, and if they win, they sign a gag order because they get half the amount of money if they don't sign a gag order. And you're up against a lot of, it's very difficult to prevail. You have to have a decent expert witness. There's a lot of time and energy and money involved. By the time you're done, you're going to want to get as much compensation as possible because you've already sucked in over $100,000 of just your energy, just, you know, fighting them and trying to recover your health at the same time or those of your children. So, I'm just saying it's a real ugly beast of a system. And, you really just want to avoid their system altogether. So anyway, I want to mention that my business website is humbleweed.net. I've had some interesting adventures there, too, because, I find myself just getting more bold. You know, I mean, you either opt for natural healing or you opt for poison. It's really that simple. Every single one of their methods are toxic to the human body. That's from their test to their drugs, to their methods of alleged, you know, therapy or healing, chemotherapy. You know, oh my gosh, people, you know, want to do natural stuff while they're taking chemotherapy. they don't even work the same. One is immunosuppressive. One of them is trying to heal your immune system and help you recover by detoxifying your body and getting rid of the problem. So, you know, I discussed that on my website, humbleweed.net, and we talk about it in some of the shows here, and I'll be doing some more shows on those topics. So, but we can't do enough in this day and age of vaccines, chemicals, and microwave radiation, serious, you know, and now COVID vaccines and spike proteins and on. You know, you have to understand the more you're exposed to stuff, the more you need to detox. And most people haven't even done any kind of detoxification of their childhood shots. And that should be number one. You know, blood purifiers, you know, doing saunas, doing, you know, colon cleansing, doing anything to open up your eliminative channels and getting those toxins out of your system. And if you haven't done it, you're going to be more susceptible to things like spike protein. I know people that aren't affected at all, and it's people that have actually done the detoxification. You know, I sell, you know, Perrier's calcium bentonite clay. That's an excellent detox, as well as sulfur. Those two things do amazing things to get some of these toxins out of your system, as well as, if you can afford it, an ionic foot bath. You know, so those are things that some people get, and they can get a lot of toxins out through their feet. So that's, to me, really, really important. We do have a chat room for the show. It's immunizewisely.chatango.com, cha tango, or chat and go. So, however you want to see it, but Immunize Wisely is stylized with a Z in Wisely, and then it's .com at the end. So, immunizewisely.chatango.com, and I've already posted a bunch of stuff there that I do want to mention. And please support this network. We're really doing well. We have some really excellent hosts, excellent discussions, excellent news feed. I was bringing up the news feed, and it was, where is that? You know, I got a real fancy mouse because I was desperate and I didn't have a backup mouse. So I went to the local store and got one, the only one they had, and it was pretty expensive and it was overly fancy. And I did something with it, pressed the wrong button somehow, and all of a sudden everything got super big on my screen. I couldn't seem to reduce it, and it's still a problem. I switched mouses, but it's stuck in this super big mode, and I think that's why I probably missed the call from RBN at the beginning, because I couldn't see it. It's mice, yeah, mouses, mice. So anyway, let me see. So the ones I thought were really good were covering, you know, propaganda is such a huge thing right now with any kind of war. Initially there were pictures that someone spotted were from several years ago of a bombing. So we actually don't know what really is going on there. CNN was faking some footage about, you know, all of these bombs coming in, and they were ducking low, and, you know, they're being called out, and there's just so much stuff. So there's an article I put that was on RBN, Israel-Hamas War, all the most shocking footage explained. And you really should, you know, look at some of these. They're really good. And then they did another one reposted from Lou Rockwell that is also really good. Who do you think they're kidding? And it's huge, because now we have FBI Director Chris Wray and Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas warning Americans that terrorist threats are rising in the U.S. since Hamas attacked Israel. Really? I mean, we have, the last estimate I heard, 14,000 daily coming through the southern border. That's just the southern border. We're talking the combination of California as well as Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. So, you know, we hear about Arizona and Texas being the most porous, but they're coming in all over and in all different ways. And this is only the ones that they've been able to capture in the daylight. There's a whole bunch of people that are crossing at night and people being smuggled in and all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, you know, you just watch a few of these documentaries and you're just like blown away. And many of these are military age men. They're not with women or children. And that is a huge concern to me. So, the article is really good. I would encourage you to see it before it's removed. And that was just posted a couple days ago. I do want to mention, we had a regular listener to RBN, and she passed, Susan Ludwig. I actually sent her some products. I was really concerned about her situation. I had just come back from my trip, and Jenna, was hosting the show. And I was getting these frantic phone calls from her, and I, it was all I could do to catch up. And she didn't have a lot of support. She was at odds with her daughter. Apparently, she actually called hospice because she wanted to save money to get some free help, and the woman was abusing her. Horrible what happened. She had marks on her, called the police, said, "This woman is abusing me. I have bruises on me." And the police sided with the caregiver and said that she was lying, and they took her to the hospital of all places. In the hospital, they forced a COVID thing up her nose all the way up. I mean, they held her down, and then they held her down and forcefully vaccinated her with a COVID shot, and she died. So I was trying to give her the numbers that are now on our website. It was from Scott Scherer's website, ouramazinggrace.net. It's a really excellent resource, but I decided, we need to repost it. So I reposted it on our website under SAFE. It's on the word index. And if you go SAFE ? At the bottom, there's all these resources. If you are in a hospital kidnap situation, I mean, you're basically in a hospital and you feel like you have no rights and, we have a COVID stuff going on and it's getting, insane, you call this number, and I can't emphasize that enough. It's the, hospital hostage hotline. That's what they call it. 1-888-C-19 emergency. So C-19 E-M-E-R. That translates to 888-219-3637. But, if you could just remember 888-C-19, because that's how I've always shortened COVID. I call it C-19. And then E-M-E-R for emergency. Just C-19 emergency. And any type of hospital hostage crisis, that's a hotline. It's a retired person that knows all the medical stuff really well. They can put you in touch with, people that will help you get out of there. And there's also free national patient advocacy, effective strategies from a brave anonymous hospital insider. So, I mean, these are important resources that you need to have. So, I want to also mention that Free Lazor, after 40 years of wrongful imprisonment, is actually out. He got out Monday. Rudy Davis, if you, I would encourage everyone to have a prisoner pen pal if you don't. We have so many innocent political prisoners. You need to have one prisoner pen pal that you advocate for. I do, and I just something I feel that's a requirement for any patriot, frankly. It could be you. We need to have compassion for these people and help in any way we can. So he got out on Monday. Rudy Davis had a great update on that. And he does have an email. You can email him at free, F-R-E-E, Lazor, L-A-Z-O-R, 2023@gmail.com. So it's a huge news for me because I've known him for over 20 years and helped him in, you know, different binds he's had in it being inside the prison complex. It's been pretty horrific what he's gone through. Okay, and then so I didn't see this posted on RBN, and I'm going to encourage them to post it. It is so excellent. It is the Stop World Control latest documentary. Apparently, he went through a couple months of incommunicado because he was being so intensely censored. And then he, after the bombing of Israel, he, I mean, by Israel or whatever, or by Hamas. I don't really care. Whatever it is, the whole Israel-Hamas thing. I'm saying it all wrong. Anyhow, this documentary is an hour long, The Mystery of Israel Solved. And it's at stopworldcontrol.com/Israel. And I haven't seen a better, concise compilation for the mainstream people out there than this. This is really well put together with excellent Bible references at the end. I mean, I would like to get this in every single Christian church, alleged Christian church, frankly. So goes through the Scofield Bible, goes through, you know, the Balfour Declaration in the beginning of Israel, you know, the state of Israel with the Rothschilds and Ronald Bernard's featured. I don't know if you remember him from 10 years ago. He was murdered in Florida. But when he first came out, that was like huge for a lot of us, you know, the whole Ronald Bernard story. So he has major clips from him and his story. Excellent, just excellent. I can't speak highly enough of it. So there were things I wanted to mention too. You know, just going through the Vaccination Liberation website, I am so glad this stuff is there. You know, I remember back with the Idaho Observer days, someone sent us the Simpsonwood transcripts, but they were all out of order. There were no page numbers. We couldn't put them together. And we're like, oh my gosh, this is huge. This is important. This is from 2000 when they realized that they were getting too much mercury into children and it was causing autism and all kinds of mercury associated disorders. And they had this huge secret meeting. And someone got the transcripts out. Well, we finally got the complete transcripts, and we have them. We've had them for a while on our website. So I was really glad that we have them on our website, the Simpsonwood's transcripts. I mean, they're revealing. You should see these people. These are all the pro-vaccination people in the universities, the Paul office. They're all there. And it's like anyone that just reads these transcripts is going to say, I don't think I'm ever getting a vaccine. You know, you can't. They want to protect their own, but no one else. So without much further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest. It's an exciting show.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Yes. Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Is John Massaro. He wrote a book called Will Vaccines Be the End of Us? And he has a website, endtheshots.com. So he's clearly as anti-vaccine as I am, and most of the people on RBN, hopefully. Anyway, John is a typical, a man that was born during the baby boomer after World War II time frame, so he's about a lot of our ages, And he was born on suburban Long Island and grew up there, normal childhood, oldest of four. And through the 70s, he worked at many different jobs, dropped in and out of college three times, and even hitchhiked three times across the country. So that was obviously putting him in the 60s era, right? He eventually found permanent employment as a truck driver in the home heating oil business, which gave him the opportunity through the 80s to travel all over the world during the summer months. Well, he got at least 15 vaccinations over 6 years as a preventative against various tropical diseases, and that's where his story begins with the whole horrors of vaccines, because when you start connecting the dots to you don't seem that affected maybe by your childhood shots. I mean, these are normal illnesses after all, that they make it like it's normal that you have some of these illnesses from the shots. But anyway, so let's just go ahead and say welcome to the show, John.
Thank you, Ingrid. It's a pleasure to be on. First time interviewee, so I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad. It's first time on the network. So Anyway, I want to thank Carol Asher for sending me your book and, you know, had given me an opportunity to really delve into it. So what year did you really start researching? I mean, what happened after these travel vaccines that really got you into doing some deep research?
Well, let me just go back to my childhood. I mean, I was, as you said, I'm a baby boomer. I'm about to turn 70. I still remember when I was in the fifth grade, my fifth grade teacher telling us about the wonderful Jonas Salk and his so-called miracle polio vaccine, and it sounded very credible to me. I never questioned it. I do remember in the summer of 76, when I was 22, I'm not sure if you remember this too, Ingrid. Do you remember the swine flu vax campaign that year? 76? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was the first time it kind of popped up in the news that I read or heard anything about it. And I do remember that my parents pleading with me to get the shot because millions of people went out and got it. The media started with their usual fear campaign. It wasn't anything like COVID, but it was out there. You know, it was it seemed like the right thing to do, but there was just something about it. I didn't like the way people were being stampeded. There's something in me. I just detected this fear, this artificial fear being pumped into people. And so I didn't get it. And then, as I'm sure you know, within a few months, I don't remember how many people died of it. Not a whole lot compared to, certainly just a fraction compared to what's going on today with COVID. Maybe 50 or 60. And it's a few, maybe 500 people came down with Guillain-Barré syndrome. So they called the whole thing off after like 4 months. I think it started in August of 76. And then by December, all the big shots in Washington, all the big so-called public health experts, the authorities, they just called the whole thing off. So it just kind of fizzled out. I didn't think much about it. So that was 1976. So in 81... that was my first big trip to the third world. I combined the trip. I was in Europe for about a month and maybe more. And then I sailed from Sicily to Tunisia on a trip through Tunisia, Algeria, Niger, Upper Volta, which is called Burkina Faso today, Togo, and Ghana. And the last three of those countries, as I recall, they required yellow fever vaccination and a cholera vaccination. But before I left home, it's just in June of 81 now. I didn't leave home, I think, till August. But I went down to the Kennedy Airport medical building, and I got my very first travel shots. I got yellow fever, as I said. Then I had to go back 2 weeks later and get a booster. And also the first time I got a cholera as well. So as I recall, it was like three shots that first year. And these were recorded in a, it was a yellow... little yellow official booklet in English and French, they put them down in a booklet, and that was that. I didn't have any adverse reactions to it. I really didn't think much about it. I returned to Africa the next year. It was a longer trip I took from East. I just pretty much made a slash from Kenya to Nigeria, right through the Congo and everything. And I got more shots that year, and. Again, I had no immediate adverse reactions. So this went on. I continued to travel in the third world from 81 to 86. I went to Asia, South America, and then I quit my job in my oil driving job in late 86, actually early 86, and I took another trip to Asia, India, Nepal, Bangladesh, and Burma from December of 86 to March of 87. Now, this is when this was my big revelation with vaccines. When I was in Nepal in January of 87, I'm traveling on my own. I bumped into two Australian women who were traveling independently as well, and we both wanted to do a little trekking in the foothills of the Himalayas. You know, nothing crazy, nothing really high altitude. And we went to a travel office in Kathmandu, the capital of Nepal, and just put together a little customized trek of 4 days and 4 nights. Very cheap. They supplied the porters put up our tents and cook our meals, that sort of thing. And on the second day, or the second night, I should say, we're sitting around the fire, sipping tea, and when travelers to the third world run into each other many times, they just start talking about things. You always somehow the conversation always turns around to health matters. So I mentioned casually that I got a gamma globulin shot as a preventative against hepatitis A, which is pretty common in the third world. So one of them said, we didn't get that shot. So I said, why not? So she said, well, there's a big controversy in Australia right now over whether you can get AIDS from this shot because it's made from other people's blood. And when I heard those words, other people's blood, I almost passed out. Because at that point, I had gotten two gamma globulin shots the two previous years. And, you know, this was like, again, this is January of 87. And it was just maybe 83 or 84 that AIDS broke into the news. And people, you know, it was pretty much a gay thing at first. But then people, quite a few people, I think well over 1,000 people in the States alone, hemophiliacs and surgery patients who needed blood transfusions had received contaminated transfusions and ended up dying of AIDS. So, you know, when I heard that, and I'm thinking, other people's blood. You know, I just, I wondered if I was a dead man walking. So, here I am, how many years later, I never got AIDS, thank God. But that was my first revelation. That was my first, and I didn't think about it so much at the time, but, you know, as time went on, I realized what this whole industry is all about. It's the lying by omission. I mean, people will never tell, parents will never tell what's in the shots when they bring their kids into the pediatrician. And a few years after that, I got married, and I was in my late 30s, and my wife was in her mid 30s, and we tried to have children right away because we were kind of getting up in age. And this went on for a few years, and she didn't get pregnant. And after about 3 or 4 years, or maybe 3 years, I forget, she became a little despondent, and she kind of insisted that we go to fertility specialist. So we did that, and they did all kinds of tests, and they found out that there were antibodies in my sperm cells. So I said, I never heard of such a thing. I said, how did that happen? And they had no idea. They couldn't answer that. And around this time also, while we were trying to have a child, she was listening to the Gary Knowles show.
Okay, could you stop it just a minute?
Sure.
Frank, we can hear your conversation. You guys need to mute yourself. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I was going to say, she used to listen to, you're familiar with Gary Null, I'm sure, right? Gary Null, does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
I know him actually pretty well, believe it or not.
Oh, you know him personally, huh? Really?
Well, enough to know that I don't want to know him personally.
Yeah.
I mean, I've run into him at different events.
Oh, really?
In the elevator, you know, yeah, we were all involved with the Alan Yurko evidentiary hearing. I don't know if you remember that. He was accused of shaken baby syndrome.
Yeah, I remember that. The thing about Noel,
so
is, you know, I listened, you know, he seems like a pretty abrasive guy. Am I right about that?
Yeah, he's pretty arrogant.
Yes, that's the word, arrogant, abrasive, yeah. But anyway, because I had never heard of him before. She mentioned it, so I listened to him a few times. Anyway, she told me that he had recommended this book by Neil Miller, Vaccines, Are They Really Safe and Effective? So she ordered it and read it, and she said, you know, and it's a small book, it's about 70, 75 pages. And
right.
She said, I think you must be familiar with him, right, with that book, at least.
Yeah, I know Neil Z. Miller. No, I've been in this movement for a long time.
You probably know more than I do. You know more than I do.
I'm just saying I go back before.
Okay, I understand.
In fact, Neil Z. Miller got his start on the whole thing in a big way after reading my mother's book, Immunization, The Reality Behind the Myth. So, and we all went to Alan Yurko's evidentiary hearing because Archie Calacarinos, who wrote every second child, you know, about the murder of the Aborigines. He was traveling from Australia at his own expense. I mean, traveling all the way from Australia at his own expense to Alan Yurko's evidentiary hearing. So that got us all to book planes and get there.
Oh, wow. That's quite a
story. So there was a, I mean, anyone that was pretty much anyone in the movement made sure they were there in Florida.
Oh, okay. Well, that was very good of him. Yeah, I got the, kind of got the feeling. I read that book, and I had the feeling reading the, you know, all the way through that he was a very good man. But anyway, I read that book. She gave me the book. She read it. She said, you should read this. And I read it, and it just struck me like lightning. I said, well, my God, this is the other side of the story. I've never heard, you know, up until the time that time I was in Nepal, I was 33 at the time, I had never read or heard a bad word about vaccines. You know, I got all those vaccines only because I just thought it was insurance against tropical disease, you know, against all kinds of tropical diseases. I never...
Right.
Yeah, so that's...
I mean, you basically have been lied to, and you never even questioned what the ingredients were, if there were any adverse reactions. I mean, everyone seemed to be fine. So it was all so suppressed how horrible they are that nothing ever led you to question it, right?
Totally suppressed. I mean, like I said, I never heard a bad word about it. I just, you know, it was just like, you know, vaccines have saved millions of lives, just like the Earth is round. The Earth revolves around the sun. I was never aware that there was another side to the story. But that book, as I said, you know, that book, I was just blinded by the light, you know, and that was, you know, and you, as you know, it's a short book, well-written, very clear. You know, he doesn't go into extreme detail, but he just touches all the, on all the important points. So then, you know, then I became obsessed with the whole thing. Well, I should say also, of course, you know, the big thing with me was eventually, you know, we did in vitro procedures, and it was a very difficult time because the first two times, I don't remember exactly all the details of the procedure, but the first two times it didn't work. And of course, these things, when you do in vitro, I mean, it's a cycle of several months each time. It's a matter of giving her injections and this and that, mm-hmm. and it failed. I mean, so after a year, about a year, we tried something else, and stupid doctors did not give us good advice, and we made a bad decision. And to make a long story short, she did get pregnant with twins, a boy and a girl, but she had a very difficult pregnancy, and they ended up being born 3 months premature. And
that means if they're that far premature, they can never have children themselves.
Well, it was really worse than that because, you know, they had, my daughter had a boy and a girl. My daughter had a lot of brain bleeding, and my son did also, but not as bad. But to make a long story short, that, you know, you just hope against hope that everything turns out okay in the end, but that's not the way it worked. My daughter, after a few years, it was obvious that she wasn't developing right, and eventually she was diagnosed with autism because of all the brain damage. And my son turned out a little better. You know, my daughter's nonverbal right now. She is in a group home in Connecticut. So my son turned out a little better. I've been they both have mild cerebral palsy, but they're able to walk. Fortunately, they didn't have. You know, you learn a lot of things when kids are born that early. All the problems that might come up. A lot of kids that age have very bad eyesight, and a lot of them can't walk. But that was not an issue with my kids. But again, you know, my daughter is severely autistic, and my son, you know, I've been able to do things with him. I've taken him to Europe a few times. We go camping, we go fishing, but he's like mildly retarded, and he'll never be able to live. He was living with my ex-wife for a while, and she put him in a kind of a house where he can live semi-independently, but you know, he'll never drive. He'll never get married. He'll never be able to live fully independently. So
how old is he?
They're going to be 30 in March. So, And you know, once I learned about that, the one thing we agreed on was that they were never going to get vaccinated, and so we just we skipped that. And fortunately, we eventually had moved to Connecticut, but they were born on Long Island, and I remember she enrolled them in some kind of school, and you know, at the time, back then in New York State, they did allow religious exemptions, so I kind of. I wrote up a little thing that I believed in the Christians. I'm an agnostic, but, you know, if I was going to belong to any Christian denomination, it would be the Christian Science Church, the Christian Scientist Church. Right. So I wrote something up to the effect that my beliefs are aligned with that church, and it was accepted, and it wasn't an issue. And so we never got them vaccinated. We got thrown out of the pediatrician's office. It's just how ignorant these pediatricians are. You know, I didn't want to take them to the pediatricians at all, but she, you know, my ex-wife was a nervous wreck, so we went there a few times, and then, but each time we just kind of balked about getting them vaccinated, and eventually they said in so many words, you're not going to be able to come back here if you don't want them vaccinated. So I said, fine. And
right.
Somehow
imagine they're already weak, you know, from being, you know, premature like that and having the brain bleeds, and then they want to add more insult to injury, you know?
You know, they're so stupid that I don't even, you know, they didn't even bring that up. You know, that's something I found out in my own research, that you do not vaccinate premature babies. Now, when they were born, they were just over 2 pounds, and I think the first time we brought them to the pediatrician's office, they were around, you know, they had started gaining weight. They came home from the hospital after 3 months. And they started gaining a little weight, but they were only up to about, after 3 months, maybe 4.5 or 5 pounds, something like that. So they were still very small. And yet this woman, you know, she just, apparently she didn't know anything about that. And
they don't know anything.
They don't know anything. You know, just keep your kids the hell away from doctors is all I can say, unless it's a really, an obvious emergency. That's the creed I live by too. I don't go to doctors, except just to renew I have to get a physical every 2 years to keep my commercial driver's license. Although at this point, I don't see myself driving a truck anymore. But anyway, so, you know, then I started researching it. I really became obsessed with the subject, and I did a lot of reading. I read a lot of, altogether, I read 38 books, and I wanted to hear it on both sides. So 12 of those books were pro-vaccine, just to, you know, just to get a balanced view, just to see the whole, get the whole picture. And, you know, I have a chapter about that in my book, Examining the Other Side. I talk about some of the books I read, and they are just so ridiculous. Did you get up to that part of my book, Examining the Other Side, that chapter? Kind of late in the book.
I have not. I've been doing little teeny pieces, but yeah.
Okay.
I read, of course,
you know, Paul Offit. Probably everybody listening knows about Paul Offit. What a creep he is. I read 5 of his books. He's kind of, the books I read before his were just absolutely ridiculous. Just so irrational, so childish. Now, he's kind of different. I mean, he says a lot of things that do make sense, and you get the feeling he's being honest with you. Then all of a sudden, he'll just throw in the most ridiculous statements. I think he's pretty famous for that, for saying, and a lot of people get this wrong. They said that he said you can give a baby 10,000 vaccines at one time. No, that's not what he wrote. He wrote 100,000 vaccines. In page 42, I don't have the book in front of me right now. The book he wrote with he co-wrote it with a woman named Charlotte Moser. And he said something like, you know, we're not suggesting that a baby should get 100,000 vaccines at one time. We're only saying
it was 10,000. It's actually 10,000.
No, it's 100,000.
Back in the day when we were publicizing it, you know, we're talking like the year 1999 and 2000, he was saying 10,000. So he upped it?
Well,
Hold on,
let me get, I have, it's on my shelf. Give me 1 second. Page 42, I know it by heart. You wonder if it was a misprint, but let me just go. Page.
Yeah, I'm wondering because I never remember it jump, you know, but I mean, I thought we all thought 10,000 was so outrageous.
I know, that's what I read.
You know?
All right, here, let me just read the sentence. Of course, we're not saying that babies should get 100,000 vaccines at once. We're only saying that they could handle it.
Wow. So, what year was that book? Because,
I'll tell you. It's page 42 on the book Vaccines and Your Child. Let me just see.
Is that? Because it's interesting because they usually double down. This is like literally a Jewish thing that when, you know, the lie is so outrageous, then they actually increase it and make the lie even more outrageous. That's kind of a thing.
I'm looking at the page, you know, I'm squinting, like it's very fine print. 2000, no, wait a minute, I wish I had my magnifying glass in front of me. It looks like 2011, that's what it looks like to me. It's definitely a 2, definitely after the year 2000, but it looks like 2011 to me. Very, very tiny print.
So. Yeah. Yeah, 2011. So, yeah, he upped it since then. I wasn't really paying attention because Mer Bailey corrected me. She said, yep, he said it, you know, later on. And John Stone responded with a British Medical Journal, you know, rapid response in response to healthy infants could safely get up to 100,000 vaccines at once. And then, of course, you know, we have Steve Kirsch has offered $50,000 if Paul Offit were to take the entire CDC recommended schedule. You know, they recommend for children and infants.
Yeah, 72. I think they're up to 72. They recommend probably more now because they're putting the COVID shots.
They have a difference between what they consider at risk. Of course, at risk children are like Aborigines, you know, anyone that's native to the land, they're considered at risk, and premature babies are at risk, you know, cause you know, this is a depopulation agenda, as you know, so they want them to have more vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone they consider at risk is the frail and populations that they want to, you know, beat down. Here it would be the Native American Indians, you know, and in Canada, same.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so, like I said, we decided about the only thing we agreed on, that they weren't going to get any more vaccinations. So, and, you know, and they grew up pretty healthy, aside, you know, their problems aside, they very rarely did they become sick, so I was certainly grateful for that. So,
right.
Then I started, you know, as I said, I became obsessed. I read both sides. And after a while, after I would say 10 years, it starts becoming monotonous after a while. There's really nothing more to learn. I mean, you learn, you know, even aside from all my research, I just go back to when I was a kid. And the 5 or 6 doses I got DPT, smallpox, which they did away with in 1971. And polio. And then when I was in the third grade, I still remember, it must have been 1961, in school, the school nurse lined us up against the wall, and all gave it, and they she gave us the, I don't think our parents were told about this, but they gave all of us the Sabin sugar cube. And of course, all kinds of things were going on behind the scenes at the time. I had no idea, like, Salk and Sabin hated each other's guts, and they were both pointing fingers at each other that, you know, your vaccine is going to give people polio. No, yours is. And, of course, you know, I was too small to know it. I don't think very few adults knew what was going on in the medical world with all this stuff. So, but that's what I'm trying to say is I just go back and there were very few, you know, compared to today, kids just didn't get sick certain kids got sick more than others,
right.
But nothing.
Okay,
hold on.
Okay. We're going to dive into a commercial right now, and then we'll be right back.
Okay,
stay tuned. You're listening to John Massaro of endtheshots.com.
OT Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back. So let me just mention, John Massaro is my guest, and there's some great posts in the chat room at immunizewisely.chatandgo.com. I made a pretty bad error. It was clickbait that was released, and I got sucked in, apparently. I thought Ronald Bernard was dead, and he's absolutely very much alive. Mer Bailey posted his YouTube channel, and he's posted as recently as 2 months ago. So all of this is at immunizewisely.chatandgo.com. I'm always so thankful for Mer Bailey being on top of it. She also posted a bunch of great links on all the counters to the 100,000 vaccine doses at once, and all the people that have responded, and from Steve Kirsch's Substack, article to. About the offer of $50,000 to Paul Hoffitt, to, John Stone's BMJ rapid response to it. So it's, pretty clear that babies can't handle this at all, and it's going to affect them one way or another, especially with the current schedule. So it's just so it's so horrible. So anyway, thanks, Mer Bailey. I really appreciate. I always appreciate being corrected. I'm subject to propaganda myself. In fact, this is a really. I really want this person on. If someone can get a hold of her, this gal at Smart Sheep with an E. Sheep is Smart Sheep, and then add an E to sheep.com. You should go there and read just the first two chapters of her book. I mean, really eye-opening on the propaganda program in this country and how we're all subject to it, you know, just like the mind control. And it's really well done. I mean, it's a book I'm actually wanting to buy. So I've been trying to reach out to her, and she hasn't responded to two emails. So if anyone else can reach her, I really want to have her on. So anyway, but without much further ado, I don't want to take away from John Maceros telling us about his whole story and why he wrote this book, because, you know, it's business. And when he actually referred to vaccination is medical communism. Now, that's an interesting term, because most people think of, you know, when the whole communism was, you know, something we were brought up with as being a pretty bad thing in the 50s, right? Mm-hmm. And so most people don't think of communism, you know, in terms of, I mean, I've never even heard that analogy, vaccinations, medical communism. But what we saw with COVID, yeah, that's what happened in this country and a lot of countries all over the world. So, oops, wow, that was short. Sorry about that. We're going to start right at the top of the hour. We'll go ahead and delve into this. Stay tuned.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.